Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 289. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Mordechai Kaplinsky.
Yes, look at that. You can find me at TurnerSparks.com, at TurnerSparks on Instagram, on tour. I'll be in Australia in late January, early February, 2 weeks at the Comedy Store in Sydney. Come on out to that. I will be there for 2 weeks hanging out, telling jokes about Australian people and whatever else I write. You can find Kaplan at Kaplan America on all social media platforms and Kaplan NYC for all your real estate needs. Kaplan, on the show today, we're talking about the World Cup. We found a comedian who was at the World Cup. How about that?
Yeah, it's exciting. It says I've been. I didn't know. This is like a big ask. We wanted to talk about this for months. I feel like talk about the World Cup. So it's very excited for this one.
Yeah, but we didn't want to. We wanted firsthand knowledge. All these people are like, "Oh, I watched the World Cup. Can I come on?"
We're
like, "So does 3 billion other people in the world. Everybody turns on the TV and watches the World Cup. It's the one time. It's like." Once every 4 years, my dad tries out soccer for like a day.
And then how's that go for him?
It always fails. This was his final review this time. It was the U.S. He watched USA England and he called me right after and he goes, you know what? I'm trying to get into this.
Yeah.
But 0-0 tie, nobody scores the entire time. That ain't going to cut it for me.
American boomers do not like 0-0 ties. They don't believe in a 0-0 tie.
No, boomers need scoring. They need wins or losses.
They're like kids. They need scoring. Hold their attention. Yeah.
Yeah. They want World War II or Vietnam. We win or we lose. There's no like, hey, we go out there and everybody. There's no Korea.
Is that there?
There's no Korea. That's why we never learned about the Korean War growing up in America. Do you know anything about it?
No.
We don't know anything.
No one
we know there's a DMZ. We know the fat kid runs North Korea. We don't even know who runs South Korea. And that's all we learned. But World War II in Vietnam is incessant because there's a clear winner and a clear loser.
And think about how boring the Korean War would be if you had to do it sober, like the fans of who went to this World Cup. So.
And to take the analogy even further, if no one died, if it was a 0-0 tie, literally no one got shot the entire war. That would it's even more boring.
No, I went to a sports
bar
in Florida with someone to watch the U.S. one of the USA England game, and he was just annoyed. He was annoyed that I invited him. He was like, "This is boring. Why am I here?
Yeah,
I need goals. Make the goals bigger. Do something." So
but we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about everything that behind the World Cup in Qatar.
How the sausage got made. Everything
Qatar, Qatar. How you say it? Before that, Kaplan, shout out. Oh, we have a new Patreon subscriber.
Yeah. Who's that?
I thought you'd be more excited.
I am excited. It's our first new subscriber in so long that I thought you were kidding me when you said that.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is really going to blow Kaplan's mind. He's like, blah-ti-da, who cares?
You're butting me up, getting me excited for the episode.
You're making all this money doing real estate now. You're screwing people over. There's a lot of money in that. Anyway, his name is Imar Kochukali, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the program.
Welcome to Patreon. Everybody else, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5 a month. You can be the new Imar. You can get a shout out next week on this show. And you get 3 extra episodes a week or two.
You get the good stuff is what you get. Like we did a free episode on Lost America feed of what our show is like last week. Go listen to that.
Yeah, what the show
you get on the Patreon show is like. And we talked all about our Thanksgiving plans. And I have a great story about being a mascot for the school turkey trot. And I almost told it. And I said, screw that. I'm not giving away for free. That's for the paying customers. So you're going to get that on Patreon this week.
On Lost in America, it's us learning about the world.
Yeah.
On Live from the Bunker, the Patreon show, it's the world learning about us. Okay, that is patreon.com/lostinamerica. Kaplan, moving on to today's episode. What do you know? So there's all this, everything you read is the World Cup's, it's problematic. It's in Qatar, they're killing people, died.
It seems like it got off to a rough start when they hired slaves to build the stadiums like 10 years ago. That seemed like a bad start.
Well, I don't know if they hired them. Do you hire slaves? I feel like they work for free.
It's a good point. I'm not sure if there's you run an ad, you're like recruit, it's a trick. You don't tell them you're not paying them. I don't know how it works. But yeah, these stadiums were being built in the heat because they couldn't do it in the summer. That was the first problem. It's too hot to play soccer in the summer in the Middle East, apparently. So that was the first thing. Then they got all these people to go around the world to go to this World Cup. And when they got there, they pulled the old bait and switch and said, there's no alcohol. Right. We learned.
Oh, they
that.
Got people from around the world. They didn't get them to go around the world. They got them to come from around the world to Qatar.
You need fans, right?
Yeah. And they said, hey, there's going to be a lot of booze. And then there's no booze. And then but I did read that they allowed Israelis to go to Qatar for the first time. I don't know. Is ever the right word? I'm not sure.
I mean, I know because we used to do a film festival. I'm wearing the shirt today. It was the Tribeca Film Festival in Doha. And I used to hear that like people with an Israeli passport couldn't get in. They needed to like use. So I don't know if they changed the rule at some point. But yeah, they did allow Israelis to come. And then I've seen videos that they've been like harassing all the Israelis that are there. It was like another bait and switch. So, or like a lot of the journalists have been harassed by fans. So you can't be gay at this World Cup. I know it's being gay is common at the World Cup. It's why, I think it's why a lot of men go because they don't go for the ties.
Now, is it like being a Jewish? You can be gay, but you'll get harassed it's even a level beyond Jewish.
I think it's a level behind. I don't think it's like, I think if you're being gay, you might end up in the prison. I think that's one of the rules. You're not allowed to date. You're not allowed to have sex outside of there's no hooking up. I think it's not allowed.
Really?
These are the laws of the country, I believe. So
you can't date. No one's allowed to date even a different sex.
No, I don't think so. I don't.
Wow.
Unless you're married, so you can have a date night with your wife. That's allowed, I believe.
All right. Well, our guest today went to the World Cup. He's Israeli. He lives in the United States of America. He's a stand-up comedian. Tours all over the place. Everybody, Eric Angel, welcome to the show. First, I want to start by, how did we do in that synopsis? What did we get right? What did we get wrong?
Trying to go fast.
hi. Pretty good, pretty good. 80-85% right, most of the things you said.
That's our average hit rate.
Yeah. You know, I want to be positive with you guys to have a positive start. But a few things. Alcohol. You know, it's a Muslim country. You cannot, there is no bars there. There's nowhere. You cannot drink alcohol on the streets. Basically, in Qatar, if you want to, all the nightlife, it's in the fancy hotels. Mm-hmm. They have bars, sports bars, restaurants, and there it's like a different country. You can go, if you're not a local, you can show all your passport or your passport fan that they give you in the World Cup. And inside, it's insane. It's crazy expensive, but you can drink alcohol. What was
international the fucked waters. Up thing?
Yeah, exactly. International waters. What the fucked up thing was that they promised the authorities there that they will sell beer near the stadiums before the games. Mm. And 2 days before it started, they said, by the way, it's not going to happen. So, again, there was also fan zone that you could buy. It cost something like, you know, my sizes for like for a pint, for a beer, it costs like, I don't know, almost $20. Not $20, maybe $17, $18. It was very expensive. It was very, very expensive. So this is about the beer. What else you said about, by the way, I think behind the closed doors there, you can be whatever you want. Mm. I think you can get whatever you need.
Good news for Kaplan. Really...
Good news for the gay hooligans out there.
As long as it's behind closed doors. Don't tell his wife.
The first few days, I was traveling before the games, and I was airdropped 3 times by men, pictures by men.
Dick pics?
I never had, no dick pics, but all kind of hairy Iranian people that like white, hairy, old Jews. I don't know.
Wait, they did it intentionally? Like it wasn't an accidental airdrop?
I think so. You know, I was in the shuttle, suddenly I said, somebody's aired, it's never happened to me before. So I was just thinking, so some guy sent me his Instagram homepage.
Whoa.
To look for him, and it happened to me 3 times.
Wow.
I was very flattered.
Yeah. Still got it.
But
that's the new way. That's the way to hit on people while not doing, because Kaplan claims no one's allowed to date anyone in the whole country, which doesn't add up to me. But maybe that's the way to do it. If it's illegal to hit on someone, then you have to do it.
Airdrop. Or hairy chest.
Is it a mass? Like, did everybody get the same airdrop? Because I would go for I'd make it a numbers game.
Right.
Yeah, if it were me, I'd airdrop.
It's like cold calling. You got to do 100 to get one hit. You know?
Yeah.
It happened to me only the first few days before the games that I was just traveling around Qatar. It didn't happen to me after. I was very disappointed because I got used to, you know, the attention.
Confidence builder.
But maybe, I have no clue. It never happened to me in my life. And this is my luck, you know. The airdrop I'm getting is like hairy Iranian guys that interesting in my old ass. Israelis. I'm an Israeli. Basically, you can go to Israel as an Israeli Qatar for many years.
Okay.
You heard right in the festival, but you need some kind of someone from there to invite you. You need a sponsor.
Oh, you'd be sponsored.
Yeah, so this time the sponsor was like FIFA, basically.
Ah. So FIFA sponsored the Jews.
Yeah, it's not the Jews, Israel, the Israelis. And everybody, it's called Haya. You have some kind of a passport that you had to apply to, and it's like your passport there. You cannot go on the flight without showing that you've been approved.
Because you can't just use the Israeli passport normally, is what you're saying. But if you're someone sponsored.
No, you can. You know, I still have only Israeli passport. But I had to show also my fans' passport, my Qatarian, you know, World Cup passport. But Israelis are not exactly, people are not exactly excited about Israel there. I've never been in a place with so many Palestine flags all over. And,
at the World Cup?
Yeah.
Because you can't protest, you can't do a gay, the LGBTQ rainbow flag. That's illegal, right?
Yeah,
illegal. But the Free Palestine flag, that's definitely allowed.
They promised that everybody is welcome, everybody can go inside, but then people came to the security check and they just took from them hats with the, you know, the gay color, the gay flags color. So few people had to take off their shirts. Totally fucked up.
Took off their shirts?
Really...
Oh, because the shirt was
like a
rainbow shirt.
Rainbow shirt, something like that. You know, it's stupid because like Senegal flag, it's almost a rainbow shirt. You know, so,
and they advanced to the round of 16 Senegal. Yeah.
It's really crazy. And Israelis, basically I felt very safe there. I had no problem. There was few media people from Israel that tried to do like some kind of provocations.
Right.
So of course they got, you know, mud in their face.
Right. That's what those are the videos I was seeing. I was seeing a lot of like, they would interview someone and then say, oh, but they'd say, where are you from? And then they'd say, well, from Israel. And then the person would like flip out on them. So I didn't, it may be some of it was set up a little bit. I don't know. But then there was,
There was some comedian that came from Israel. He likes to do provocations in different places in the world. And he's doing things, not exactly the higher level of comedy between us. And he did all kind of, you know, he came to some guy from Sudan and he said, oh man, I think you cleaned my house and all kind of really not funny
not
stuff.
Not a great bit.
And some Iranian lady journalist found a short video from him in the army. And she tweeted that his face with his short video from the army, she decided he's a mass murderer or something. Oy. And this guy, the authorities in Israel connected him and told him, You're flying back home now.
They got him out before something would happen to him?
Yeah.
So he was kind of a bad comedian.
And his penalty was about to be lynched.
Doing hacky, racist bits. And but then she also just, because isn't everyone in the military at some point in Israel?
It's very good question. Yeah, I wasn't in the military.
Yeah,
the salary wasn't good enough. But no, but 99. Yeah, but it is exactly what I thought. Everybody was basically in the army.
Yeah,
but because what he did, and basically those actions made all of us in risk. So I, the last few days there, I just was from Germany, you know, because
that's a funny.
Because Americans used to always put a Canadian flag on their backpack because they were real lame.
Oh, really?
I think.
But wait, yeah, like during but the Bush years, when they'd be
but
like,
there was no real danger out there for us.
No, they're just embarrassed. It wasn't like they didn't want to say I was from America.
They were like, I don't like George Bush. but I lived in China for a while, and at one point, the Chinese government got upset with the Canadian government. And Canadians were putting American flags on their backpack. And I'm like, here we go. Now it's happening. Yeah. But anyway, so you
an Israeli putting a German flag is interesting.
You're right.
Yeah. First of all, I didn't put a German flag. Just people were asking me. But, you know, as we say in our comedy world, I was reading the room.
Yeah.
Because when they sent me, I came there as a journalist. I worked for an Israeli magazine there. And one day I was in a waiting list for Argentina, Saudi Arabia, and they sent me to sit with the Saudis. I was sitting with them, and it was amazing. And I was still with my tag, and it was where I'm from, and, you know, it's the ISR. It's not all the country, but I was just had a lot of fun to beat with them Argentina and Messi. It was so much fun.
Oh.
But I didn't start to ask them what's going on, and, you know, because it was crazy. They could... You know, I don't know what to do to me, but
yeah, you're not bringing up politics in that situation. You're just having fun.
Yeah, we're just having fun, you know, because it's also stupid. Somebody can say, "Are you from Israel?" Hey, you know, he's beating you up. What are you talking about? I'm the government. I'm not connected to. I'm even, you know, I live in New York. I never been in the army. I'm against about so many things. You know, also it's a coin with two. Never mind.
Yeah,
people there, they hate. It's scary in one point. It's also tiring. That you know that in every second you can be in danger. I didn't like that in the end. Mm. Yeah.
So how long did you stay?
I was 12 days there.
Oh. 12 days. And
yeah.
It seems like most of your interactions were pretty good, right? With people from other countries?
I had beautiful conversations there. I spoke with some Iranian guy, a student from Italy, that in the end we said next time we'll meet in Tehran or in Jerusalem.
Cool.
I spoke with a Muslim guy from Canada. Beautiful conversations, really. People that are a little bit more sophisticated and learn and saw the world, you know, it's different. And yeah, most of it was good. I went to the market there. I did comedy sketches there. I have some Israeli character with a shirt in Hebrew. But I didn't do provocation. You know, I just, you know, went and asked them stupid questions about what you think the chances about Israel to win the World Cup.
Yeah, I saw that.
And,
I saw those.
And why Israel is not in the World Cup. That was kind of dumb stuff, like not connected to nothing.
God, can you imagine if Israel would have qualified? That would have, just thinking.
We did once. We did once 52 years ago.
The problem is Israel has to play in Europe. Like, if we could get peace, would Israel then be able to play in the Middle East and have a better chance? There's never going to qualify out of Europe.
But you know, many times in the Olympics, our athletes are moving forward because the guy against them doesn't want to fight them.
Right. When they face, they forfeit, like an Iranian sumo wrestler or someone will forfeit.
Exactly. It helps us to win because they just.
Because Turner, they don't acknowledge it exists, the country, so they have to forfeit sometimes. Like some of these
the opponent forfeits against
the opponent
Israel.
Will forfeit against the Israelis from certain countries. So, and yeah.
Also, I think when we qualified in 1970, there was a team or two that didn't want to qualify against us. So we just moved forward.
Oh, that's the key.
It's very good for us because we're very bad in sports.
Yeah. So it evens out. It evens out is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's a question I wanted to bring up because everyone's talking about sports washing through this Olympics, this idea that it's only been around this term's been around like 10 years. It's already overused. But the idea that if Qatar gets the World Cup or if the Saudi Arabia, like the LIV golf tournament exists, it's sponsored by Saudi Arabia, then people will forget all the bad things that country did and only focus on the sports. because people are idiots. But or that's like the argument that they have. Right, like people are so dumb they can't think of two things at once. That hey, this country is bad, but also I like football, I like soccer, whatever. But interesting, what you just said almost makes the opposite argument that getting everyone together in the same place. And I went to the Olympics in 2008 in Beijing. I had the exact same experience you did. It makes us kind of understand each other a little more on a human to human basis. I don't know. It feels like that there's a good side to this whole thing too. With the
listen, first of all, yes, it's a big celebration. People from all over the world can see each other, can celebrate, can meet, can know a little bit. But the government in Qatar, it's a terrible place. You know,
yes.
Slavery. It's a live thing there. And I don't know why they're so rich until today. I met some Belgian journalists that still finding all kind of terrible stories that happening now today. I don't know why they're bringing many people from all over the world, all kind of poor, you know, from Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and India and Pakistan, and they let them give them jobs and they don't want to pay them, and they are in labor camps there. It's terrible. Listen, for me, coming as a journalist, official for FIFA, with money and everything, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a bad place. For example, I'll give you an example. The metro there, amazing metro. New York can just dream to have
it's
a metro.
It's nothing
like
New York.
That.
I've seen pictures. It's
Oh my God. It's
the airport's
huge.
Too, right?
It's, yeah, it's huge. It's clean. Every 2 minutes, it's coming. It's easy to use. Everything.
They don't sell tickets.
The day before the tournament and after the tournament, you have like different cars there. There are the cars for the locals. It's a golden cars with like sofas, and there is cars for families and kids, and there are cars for these workers, for this, you know,
they have their own subway car, basically, is what you're saying? Their own train car?
Yeah, and they don't have a shame about it because in the digital screen, they just write that this arrangement is suspended for a few weeks. So you see the people, the labor guys sitting in the gold cars cannot believe that they can sit there now. And this is really like it's masters and slaves. Like in a way, it's all over the world like that. But there, it's very clear.
Yeah, it's not like
that
black and white in most of the world.
And it's a very strange place because they have like 300,000 citizens and 2 million workers from, you know, immigrants that working for them.
That's how they built the stadiums. That's how they got this whole World Cup.
6,500 people. You said you cannot play soccer there in the summer, but they still build the stadiums in the summer. So all kind of young people, 20, 25 years old, just die there because you are in 120 degrees day after day after day, and they didn't pay salaries and they didn't give them a right. It's terrible. And the world doesn't care. Yeah. Coca-Cola, McDonald's, FIFA,
Budweiser.
Everybody's there. Everybody's celebrating. And so I also had a lot of fun, but it's a very, very dark event. That somehow bringing all the bad things in the world now to one place.
Yeah.
I mean, the
idea is that you can come there, like they'll lure people in with these jobs, but then your boss holds your passport essentially until the job's finished, and the job isn't finished till he says it's finished. So therefore you become a slave. Is that kind of the way it goes?
This is for what I'm still reading. I just got an amazing book there 2 days before I left that they published. There is, first of all, there are agents there that promised, you know, they coming to very poor areas and people really, their family selling everything they have to pay for this agent. And I'm talking about 2,500 the euro, you know, but this is what this family have. They send their land. And they said, when you come to Qatar, you're going to have a guarantee, work and salary. And then this young guy is landing there and there is nothing. Mm. There is nothing that was promised. And then they're starting to work. I know some story about a guy was suddenly start to work as a gardener for 40 days. In the end, the guy said, no, I'm not paying you. So he went to the court there and said, no, but you didn't sign a contract. And, you know, I feel that this kind of people, they don't look on the poor people as humans. Because I saw how they give them the camps that they live. I saw pictures, their kitchen, where how many people have to live in the room. It's something that it's hard for us to understand. But it's like, it's cruel. It's cruelness 100%. And nobody really cares. So they just, you know, keep going.
And with the subways, so it's different cars for different people. Is there other aspects of life? Because this sounds like the 1950s in the South, in the United India States. Different water fountains and restaurants and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't see it, but it's pretty clear who are the masters.
Yeah.
Well, the locals and well, the you know the slaves, and each one to his own story. I'm sure there are people that have a better situation there than others, but it's still happening today. It's not something that we talk how it happened.
Yeah,
I know that it's still happening, and
they said that 94% of workers are brought in. I guess, because almost no one is native Qatari, right?
Yeah, the team is of the 13 players on the team were like naturalized citizens. Like, they don't even have like players.
This is also strange because they have 12 years to build a normal soccer team.
Yeah.
And I spoke with people about it. They invested $200 million. They brought people from Barcelona. And somehow they managed to build the worst soccer team ever. So, you know, on the field, you cannot bribe no one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just do what you can. And it was like,
because they're guaranteed, the host country is guaranteed to have a team. It's so hard to, so they're always there. And you gotta like not embarrass
but
yourself.
But they are the first host ever. They didn't get even 1 point.
Right.
In three games, you know, and they scored only one goal. So at least that.
So did they not have a team 12 years ago? Or they just didn't have a good team? So they bought.
They didn't have a good team, but you know, in 12 years, if you walk right and you have, they have as much money that you can imagine, you know, money is the it's not a problem.
Yeah.
They could build something much, much better, but someone did, I don't know, someone is not going to see the light of the day, I guess. For a while, someone is going to pay for this.
I mean, they saw today Saudi Arabia is paying Ronaldo, I think, £300 million a year to come play.
Yeah.
That maybe they'll naturalize him so he can play for them in the future. Because that's they should have thought of that idea. Yeah. Messi, here's a new contract.
So
and the locals, by the way, is, you know, it's very clear. You see them there with white, they are in the white, like in an Arab outfit, white jalabia and thing, very very clean, very elegant, and it's very clear that they are the masters there. Mm. I don't know. Somebody told me that if you are from Qatar and you are, they want Qatar people to stay there because many people are leaving. They pay you something like $50,000 a year just to stay there.
Wow!
So I don't think that most of them work too much.
Right.
And you know that. In the other hand, the area when I stayed, my hotel was some kind of a slums place. I loved it. And it's in near my hotel was like a mechanics and you know, all kind of restaurants and laundromat. And but it's like foreign workers that it's only you don't see locals there, bottom line, in those areas.
It's what so kind of a place?
It's a very strange place.
A slams place? Is that what you said?
It's not exactly I don't know how, it was kind of a slam. You don't see local
like dump, you mean?
My
or
hotel
like
was.
What do you mean by slam? Like a rundown or?
Yeah, very rundown.
Oh, like a slum. Yeah. I got
slum,
it.
A slum. Yeah, cool. I'm sorry.
Got it. No problem. Know,
it's like a slam English, in place.
No,
like, the slum. Like, it's, you don't see locals there. You see, it's very cheap, great food. It's like India too, in a way. It's more India. And then you go 20 minutes from there. They build something like New York, but, on steroids, like something, wild.
Does everyone have to dress a certain way in the country, or does it's just if you're a local, that's how they prefer to dress with the white hood, or what's the term?
Well, you
called?
Can't go around in like tank tops, right? Even
like,
men,
do women have to dress a certain way?
It depends on the level of your how religious you are.
Okay.
You see there everything. But you see what we are not used to see. You know, you see many ladies with hijab, but it's just the Jewish Orthodox lady, they just cover their head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what we don't used to see, it's the burqa that they all covered. Only the eyes is... So you see groups of those ladies, or you see a man sitting in a restaurant and his wife is just with her eyes and everything. And for us, it's really... For me, it's really, you know, do whatever you want. But every time... And I don't think it's less sexy than any other woman. It's just different, you know? I don't think they fix it. It doesn't.
Any of those ladies airdrop you? You didn't get an airdrop?
A piece of her
cheek or something?
In one way, it's like more tempting because you're like, ooh, I wonder what's going on, Everybody looks hot when you can only see their eyes. So.
And after the pandemic, we all know how eyes are a strong thing, you know?
Yeah, of course. So what was your motivation to go to the World Cup? Because Israel's
money,
not in
money.
It.
Because you're paid?
A lot of money. Have
you been, did you go to the World Cups in the past? Did you go to Russia last time, another great country?
I've been in Russia, yeah. I've been in Russia and I did two Olympics. I did Rio and Tokyo.
Oh, as a journalist every time?
Yes.
For what publication? Who are you working for?
It's called Makor Rishon. It's an Israeli weekly magazine. And... yeah, they offered me to go, and I said, you know, in the beginning it was hard for me to decide because the background of this tournament, this dark background, I didn't feel comfortable. But then I said, you know what, maybe to also give me a chance to talk about it and to write about it and to mention these people. And I don't think it's a place I will never go back to.
Mm.
So it's like it's a once-in-a-lifetime adventure. This was the idea.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more. I have a ton more questions. Kaplan, but we are part of the world's smartest podcast network. That is you and me right here on Lost in America.
That is
Professor Andrew Heaton and the, what's his podcast called?
Political Orphanage.
Political Orphanage. And that is Dr. Andrew Jones-Roy, the Majoring in Everything podcast. Everybody listen to all those podcasts. Subscribe at worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. And now... a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you very much, as always. Okay, so you went to as a reporter for this Israeli magazine. Were you there to cover sports or the culture, or what part of it did you dig into?
Basically all of it, more the culture, like what we call to bring a color from the area, from the place, from the games, not exactly like what happened in each game and who scored. That wasn't the idea. And I have to tell you, everywhere I'm traveling in the world, I'm looking for a comedy scene, of course. This is how I did comedy in Russia, in Tokyo, in many places that I'm traveling, and there is no... comedy scene in Qatar.
That's why we haven't done an episode yet about Qatar.
There is no comedy scene there. I really tried. I spoke with people from Dubai, from Bahrain, from all over, because I understand they have like three subjects they can speak about. So what kind of a comedy
What's the deal with oil?
exactly. What's the deal with oil? So that was a shame. I really wanted to do comedy there. But
you did a sketch, you said. But that was that was more just like man on the street.
Yeah, I did, you know, my stuff a little bit when I had time. I wish I had more time. So I did all kind of things there, but not comedy, not like, you know, going to a club and doing a set in Arab country. That sounds exciting. Even though also 4 years ago in Russia, I did a few spots. And it's also interesting because nobody is mentioning Putin, for example. Nobody's talking about the government. Mm. It's like the elephant in the room. It's also strange.
Yeah.
You know?
Even 4 years ago?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Even 4 years ago.
I started my comedy career in a country where you could not talk about the government. And it was kind of a self-preservation thing. As a local comedian in the scene, you don't want, if you bring up something about the government and then somebody goes and tells on you, you're not only your comedy club, but the whole scene could get shut down. So it's kind of like, hey, everybody, just there's a million other things to talk about just so we can all continue to do comedy. Everybody keep it cool. So that could be kind of how.
Yeah.
Were you in Moscow?
Yeah, I've been in Moscow.
I mean, you were doing comedy there. Was it because we know Oleg Denisov.
Oleg.
Is a friend of ours at the Steal the Show Comedy Club in Moscow, which.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With these guys, I basically, I think half an hour after I landed in my hotel, I just went to look for the comedy scene there and they told me to come day after, day later, and I did, and they liked me and they brought me a few more times. It was, I did with them all kind of mics and stuff during the pandemic in Zoom.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good crew. Wait, I want to get back to the alcohol thing. So
yeah,
you brought it up early, but it seems like if you're wealthy enough, you can drink alcohol.
It's like a private club type thing. Is that how?
Is that
kind of thing?
Yeah. First of all, I didn't tell you when you land, before you pick up your suitcase, they scan your backpack or everything to see that you're not bringing alcohol or pork to the country.
Hey, I wouldn't be able to go.
So between the two of us, I bring booze. But I don't eat. Turner brings pork everywhere he goes.
I don't drink alcohol, but I'm addicted to bacon.
Yeah.
I can't go a day without bacon. I think my arteries would collapse. My insides would collapse.
Yeah, I've been around him. When he misses a bacon in a meal, he starts getting the shakes. He's like,
I get mean. I yell at people. I yell at my wife.
Really great.
I need bacon.
So Qatar is not for you. It's not.
Oh,
for
I'd
you,
be sweating.
But. But it's so strange because it never happened to me. You know, you just going to take your suitcase and they scan your stuff to see that you didn't bring, because
no bacon.
In Qatar Airways, they give you alcohol in Qatar do Airways. You can drink wine and stuff.
Do they have
like
pig sniffing dogs there? Like, how do they, these dogs are just,
I would this have to funny. Figure out now, a way to like, I'd maybe make hamburger patties. That if they scan, they look like hamburger, but really it's just pure bacon. Just ground. Like,
I wonder if they have black market for pig stuff.
I bet they
would have like
a
mole. You would be running like teenage girls across the border with swallow. Put this in your butt.
swallow a plastic bag full of bacon. Puke it up when you get across. Human trafficking. So all right. So
the bars. The nightlife is in hotels, fancy hotels there, in bars and restaurants. There you can drink, but not if you are a local, only if you are a tourist, if you're a foreigner that show them you're a foreigner. But I've been told that there are all kind of, also black market, all kind of apartments that if you into these things, you probably, if you live there, so also locals going there and drink. So it's basically, I don't know, like America in the, when was it? In the 30s? That
Prohibition years. Yeah.
Speakeasies.
Prohibition years.
In the 20s.
So exactly. So I really think there is solutions there for everything.
Okay.
This is what I feel. If you have money, you can get along.
Yeah. Do they do like a raid where they go into a bar and check all the IDs to make sure
smell
there's
smell for bacon?
tell the guy and pretend he's German.
Can you?
Maybe, I don't know. I've been only one time.
God, I would love it to be able to know everything I'm eating. Doesn't have, I'm so sick. I'm the whiny person at the restaurant is always asking, "Is there any pork in that?"
Oh,
is
it's
pork
so annoying. You go out and eat with Kaplan.
Yeah, he hates it.
So. You are the best Jew ever.
Yeah. This is the one thing. My one thing.
So, so you did go into one of these bars. And is it like in a secret room or it's just, hey, it's in a hotel lobby?
No, it's in a Marriott, very expensive. Marriott, how
you
say
it? Yeah,
no,
you said it right. I'm just surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a Trump.
Yeah, no. I told you, it's like a life. It's like the Vatican, just there. The hotels there, they have their own clubs. When I went there, it was full packed. You can drink whatever you want. It's very expensive. Also, the food in the back room, you can smoke cigarettes.
Oh, that's nice. Get to
there was hundreds of people from all over the world just got drunk. And it happened, I think, in many areas, only inside those hotels.
Yeah.
You cannot go outside with a beer.
Right.
And and you cannot show any kind of affection between human beings outside. Even though I saw a few times Indians, men going hand by hand. This is part of their culture, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah, like if you and Michael and you and Turner, you would be friends, Indian friends. You would just go hand by hand.
So weird.
And it wasn't
just hold hands with my guy
thing.
Friends.
Yeah. No, yeah, I've been to.
Yeah, it won't, it's not a gay.
If any of my guy friends even touch my hand, I would like I'd be done. I mean, I'm done. We're done.
Just reach so, down and hold so, hands.
So I saw it a few times. I was surprised because I've been told there was no affection allowed. But
what about? Yeah, so is there ways, are there areas where this is allowed? Like, are there, like, really underground brothels? Not that you went to any or anything, or, like, how to, because there's a lot of guys who travel for soccer. They need some action.
Yeah. I know for 100% that there are also, there are ladies that were, like, sex workers there. Yeah. Everything is, you have it there. If you have the money, yeah. I think
women of the night.
It's a system that.
Women of the night. I mean, that's why it's the World Cup and that industry go hand in hand, I would assume. So it's a lot of men.
Yeah. And by the way, you cannot, you know, if you Google there and you see, you look for like a porn website, you cannot, they block it. Mm. Yeah. A friend told me. And,
but you can get, you can airdrop your pictures to anybody. No one stops that. So
yeah. No, but you today, you know, it's very easy. You have a VPN, you have apps.
Yeah.
That you can do whatever you want. So basically, if you have money, a little bit of you know, technology, and
you travel around the world, you shouldn't be looking at porn. I agree with him on that. So
no, it's not. They're not against porn. They just want you to jerk off from your imagination.
Yeah,
yeah, so. Exactly.
I would just be Googling pictures of bacon and going to town. What? All right. So wait. So there's no public displays of affection in public. No PDA. I'm almost for that. I really can't stand those couples that are like always
on top
of each
couples.
Other. My wife and I could exist beautifully over there. We barely look at each other in public.
You know. Also, I was interested. I spoke with someone from Wales about how he's not to watch a game without drinking beer.
Mm. Yeah.
And he said, "You know what?
Pretty boring."
Bottom line, I'm drinking too much.
Oh.
So it's maybe it's good for me. Maybe it's good for
so
me.
So it is like we joked about this, Turner. It's like rehab for some of these people.
Well, yeah, if they're you're like, from Wales, absolutely. That's like the only time you get a break is the 3 hours yeah. during the game. It's it's like your vacation from drinking because the rest of the 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's why the wives all said they gave their husbands permission to go. They said, oh, maybe they'll clean up. Go. It's like all cold turkey for a little bit.
Absolutely. Such a strange place. I have to tell you this.
I also think that this idea, I mean, while it's born out of, I guess, this horrible concept that poor people can't handle their alcohol, so we shouldn't give them any alcohol. The idea that there's only a few select number of places where you can drink alcohol probably makes those places incredibly fun because it's super concentrated. Everyone goes to the same place, right? As opposed to if there's 1,000 bars around the city. It would spread out.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Exactly. This is where you are. Yeah. This is where the nightlife then. This is where you meet the other people.
And then did you notice in those nightclubs or in those bars, people like making out and or because you can't do it in public. Can you do it in those venues or still no?
I believe you can. I wasn't there enough. I didn't see things like that. But yeah. I believe.
That's
I believe in these spaces you can do whatever you want.
Okay. You can eat, but you can't make, you know, bacon though. You can make out.
No bacon. Yeah.
Let's and get carried away.
No bacon. Bacon, it's, you know, it's the devil.
What? I disagree.
no, for them, I have nothing against bacon.
And then what about the, I think you talked about it earlier, but the rainbow flags, not allowed, right?
No.
No rainbow flags.
What
anymore.
About,
it's ridiculous.
Would anybody get creative and protest, like a couple colors, or is there any, like,
2 days ago, somebody the first time went inside in the middle of the game, was running with a flag, with the, you know, the rainbow. Oh, and for the women in Iran, he did few protests in one thing and they arrested him. And I hope he's well. I forgot to tell you another stupid thing that happened a few times. Where every time you go inside the media center and, of course, every stadium and stuff, you have to go through security. They were very serious about security there. Also, in the airport back, we had to go to two security checkup, but very, very tough about it. But they, if you went inside with the mineral water, with the label, it happened to me also with the yogurt, with the label that it's not the official sponsor. Oh. They force you to take it off.
Take the label off.
Kind of.
Cause it
as
might
if you're
going to
be
on
TV or something.
Yeah. Eating. You never know.
No, we're on TV. idea. Just was, you know, went to the media center with the water that it's not the official sponsor of the tournament. Think what they're dealing with. It's nonsense.
Like, I mean, FIFA's the biggest, like, it's the most corrupt organization on planet Earth, I believe.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah,
where's the next World Cup going to be? I mean, like North Korea? Like, what are we?
No, it's here. Russia, United States.
Oh, right.
United States, Canada, and Mexico.
I wanted to ask you about that because to me, world events like the World Cup or the Olympics, 75% of the fun is what you've been saying. It's getting together with people from around the world, right? All in the same city.
Yeah.
But we're doing the next one across three countries and like 12 cities. I don't think anywhere is going to have the vibe because it's too spread out. Like there'll be one or two games in New York, one or two in Toronto, one or two in Mexico City, and then Dallas, Seattle. Yeah. So it's not like anybody's going to be anywhere.
But you forget that next time the FIFA made a very bad decision and it's not going to be 32 teams anymore. It's going to be 48 teams. Yeah, maybe even Israel.
We may be. Yeah, there you go.
So I agree with you, but still, you know, 48 different countries. So I'm sure it's going to be fun, but it's different. There is nothing like Qatar ever in the history that like the stadium that, you know, that 10, 15 miles from each other, all the tournament.
Yeah.
I saw 12 games in 7 days.
Yeah.
It's not a normal thing usually in a regular tournament.
No. Oh, really?
Because it's,
because they're so close to each other.
Are they normal?
Also in Russia, in Russia you had Moscow, but you had things that you had to fly to.
St. Petersburg.
You know, it's Russia, it's so big. So you had to fly through a different area. So Qatar, it's one of a kind about that it's so close.
What, Kaplan, you had some credit about fake fans. Did you read something about that?
A lot of the local fans, not even, they like, someone told me this. So it's, they basically were like paid or like workers that they were like hiring to, is that?
They brought people from, young people from Pakistan.
Pakistan, yeah.
From all kind of missions. The first, before the tournament, those guys also, again, I don't know exactly, no, I don't have the papers, but they said that they brought them they give them like some horrible place to stay, 3 meals a day and $10 salary for a day. And each group was with a different country and they made like a fake environment before the tournament started. They came to the market and they started to celebrate. So you see Pakistanian from Spain, Pakistanian from Brazil.
To make it like there was people already arrived. So were they doing the chants? Did they learn
every country?
Ole, ole, ole.
Something like that. Yeah. I at first, because I heard about it and suddenly I start to see them.
Yeah.
And also Iran, the last game, from what I heard, I haven't been there because it was yesterday against the United States.
Yeah, big win for
they us. Said that they brought few hundreds of those Pakistanians or some kind of young workers to cheer for Iran because most of the Iranian people in the audience were against
their regime.
Oh,
the regime.
What about that hot girl? Did everyone knows that one hot girl that kept showing on the TV? That Iranian?
Yes, you know the one. I know who you're talking about.
You telling me she's Pakistani? Because, that's a crazy thing. The whole with the protests going on right now,
they've done that at previous Olympics. I've seen that where they have.
So they brought a few hundreds young people that like they are for the team because the others just booing them and then. The mostly Iranian did it. So, you know, that was their protest against the regime.
So this was like a Qatar.
It's a crazy tournament.
FIFA hired these people kind of to save face for all these countries, just in case no fans showed up.
People to sing the national anthem because the fans aren't singing the national anthem as a protest or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's FIFA. I think it's this country. In this matter is the Iranian. The Iranian have, you know, in the first game, the Iranian players didn't sing the anthem. And in the second game and the third game, they sang and they didn't also celebrate after they scored goals in the first game. What happened? Somebody did something to make them start singing, you know.
Yeah, did some former player disappear or something I read or something like that?
They arrest someone, but then they release him before a game and they just threat the families and them.
Yeah.
That's all. They threat that they're going to go to jail and it's going to have a lot of trouble. So they start to sing, you know, And they have their own police there, the Iranian. They really locked the players.
Their own police.
Like the, their secret
service? Yeah, they're coming off like some kind of... yeah, they have their own police, the Iranians.
And they have jurisdiction? Like they're allowed to arrest people and stuff?
I don't think so, but they can arrest, half arrest their own players.
To keep their players in line or to keep them from like escaping or something?
Kaplan,
we're talking about so many crazy issues.
It sounds like Iran's going to host the next World Cup or the one after us, the way the things are going.
It's a World Cup. Like, what the hell is going on?
I just like the idea that if you want to be gay in Qatar, you better be Indian because no one will notice. You can only hold hands if you're Indian.
You're holding hands.
Because if it's two white guys or two black guys holding hands, you're going to prison. But if it's two Indians, they're like, it's just their culture. Let them do what they want.
I wonder if the police people know about it, because I was really surprised to see.
But no, can you hold hands if it's like a relative, like if you're brothers or something? Is that a loophole? You pretend
maybe you have to show some ID. Cap, you have to show ID that you're brothers. And no kosher food. Did we already talk about that? I don't know what kosher food
is. I read there was no kosher food. They said there was going to be kosher food and then there wasn't. That's it. That was the other bait and switch. Is that or was it not allowed something?
No, there was there is kosher food there. No, I was surprised. There is two rabbis that came from the rabbi of Istanbul in Turkey.
Shout out!
He came with his son, and they had some arrangement with the Qatar Airways. They gave them a small kitchen with few workers,
really?
And they making sandwiches there, kosher sandwiches. And the Jews have to.
There's a lot of fake news. I saw this on multiple people being like, you can't. They would list it on the things you can't do. And I saw multiple listed that kosher food was banned.
No, I have. I can even show you. I have pictures with the challah, with the rabbi, with the challah.
Nice.
Yeah. And there was another guy from Mexico that came there, another rabbi. He didn't want to speak with me, but he also somehow arranged a meat, kosher meat there. They did Havdalah. And Mr. Kaplan, he will explain to you what is Havdalah. No, it's a ceremony in the end of the Shabbat.
It's like Saturday before the candle. It smells weird.
Yeah. So before Mexico and Argentina game near the stadium, they did Havdalah. The Jews have to be annoying and to come everywhere. And yeah, but they did it. There was a kosher food. If you want it, you could find it.
Kaplan,
all right.
I just want to get
it's a good question. You have good questions.
Cap has to leave in just a minute, but I want to get your answer on this, Kaplan, before you leave, and then we'll let you go.
I'll stay a little longer. But yeah.
All right. So I read it's as you guys have said, it's illegal to be seen drunk, like to be drunk in public. I don't know if we brought that up yet, but be drunk in public in Qatar. And if you do get caught drunk in public, it's 6 months in prison or an $824 fine.
$824.
But if you want to drink, you can buy a hospitality package to drink at the football games, you know? And that is anywhere from $950 to $4,950. So, Cap, would you rather just get drunk on your own and pay $824? Or get drunk legally and pay $950 to $5,000.
So you're telling me at the games you can get drunk if you just pay?
I read there was like suites. If you paid, if you wanted to get like a box suite.
Oh, to a suite.
But it was like, could be anywhere from basically $1,000 to $5,000 for a suite. Is that true, Eric?
The price of a suite, I don't really know. But I don't think in that tournament you could do it. Mm. You know what? Maybe I heard maybe the only the highest society really could drink during the games.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And it said
it's all about the money. If you have it, you can do whatever you want.
$1,000 to $5,000 to drink at the games, or just get drunk in public and pay $800.
I think I'd do the suite because I assume there's air conditioning in the suite too. So you're getting the alcohol, you're getting the air conditioning. And I don't trust, as in Kaplan, I know you're saying they allow kosher food, but I don't really want to get arrested. Over in
well, they probably
have. I know your tournament's $824.
All right,
I'll take that.
All right. Also, they're saying that if they catch you there, like kissing one that is not your wife, you can go for 7 years to jail. But I don't know if it ever happened. But this
would
is
you the, rather get caught by the kissing someone who's not your wife by your wife or by the Qatari government?
Good question.
And then, what's your comedy for peace? I was reading about that.
Yeah, I get
Comedy for Peace. It's a project I established 3 years ago. It's a night with the Jewish and Muslim comedians. It's something I wanted to do for a long, long time. And we're traveling America and trying to bring the communities together to to first of all to make them laugh with a very good comedy show, but second of all, you know, to get to know each other a little bit better. In the end, we always have a Q&A. We're talking about things, and I love it. I love it. It's you know, it's not changing the world, but it is doing a little bit.
Sounds like it is.
And what type of audiences do you get? Is it more one way or the other, Jewish, Muslim, or a mix?
Until today, we had only one show that there was basically maybe 97% Muslims in the audience, and I loved it. And there is basically usually more Jews and Christians. Mm-hmm. And we had a few shows that there was maybe even. The problem with this project until now, that the Muslims, you know, they don't, it's hard to collaborate with them, especially when I connect them and I'm doing most of the production here. So many people doesn't care about who I am for real. The second I'm an Israeli, it's a red flag. So they're not going to talk with
me. I think it's bad for their careers maybe with their fans, or is that?
This is even, you know, Americans?
No, I'm not talking about the comedians. I'm talking about the organizations.
Oh, the organizations.
Oh, even if you're a comedian.
Even if you're.
Wouldn't care.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know.
No, I had stories. There are a few comedians that don't want to do with me, do it with us. We did a few times and they left. There is a Palestinian comedian in I don't know even his name. He's based in Detroit, that he's connecting the people I'm working with all the time, asking them not to do it. But yeah, there is. But mostly like it, love it. I'm working with amazing Muslim comedians, also with Jewish comedians. East Coast, we have now a West Coast group, and we're traveling.
I haven't done it in any Arab countries?
Not yet, but I really hope, I'm really trying to bring it to Dubai.
Yeah, with the Arab Abraham Accords and all that, right? Is that the effect? Yeah, anything, exactly. You should be able to do some comedy.
We just did there is a group that called Sharaka, that they are working for the next generation of Ibrahim Accords, and they came to LA and we did for them a special night in the Laugh Factory. The Comedy for Peace was performing there. Yeah. And there was one from Bahrain. And then we spoke about, we're going to try to bring it to this area. That would be amazing, to bring it to an Arab country.
Really cool.
That would be
and
amazing.
So if you stick to comedy
go,
clubs,
but no pork, so.
If you stick to comedy clubs, they don't care. They'll let you perform, right? But you're saying the private organizations get scared off when they find out you're Israeli or something.
Many times. Yeah. It's hard for me. I really want to collaborate more with also Muslim organizations, or to go to areas with Muslim people. And for now, until now, the Jewish organization are more open for doing it. They love the idea. But the problem is, many times Muslims don't feel comfortable to come to a Jewish organization to sit there, you know, in a JCC or a place like that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for a solution how to make it more natural and more. But we still had, you know, we've been in Detroit twice. There were many Arabs there and many Palestinians there. And we had Lebanese, and
that's awesome.
Now we've been in LA. We did a show. People from Kuwait. This guy, there was some guy that followed me since my show in LA. The guy from Kuwait sent me a list of to-do list in Qatar. I love it. You
nice.
Know, I especially love the after show that they staying and take pictures together and talking and really going back to their communities. Maybe know 5% more about each other.
Yeah, that's great, man.
We'll have to do one with Jews and the Blacks. We'll have to do our own Comedy for Peace tour. Since the way
this is what I'm doing tonight. I'm in DC. This is what I'm doing tonight. There is a Jewish Black show in DC, and I'm co-headlining.
There you go.
With the American Black American guys. So
hopefully Kyrie Irving shows up. No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for doing the show, man. Best of luck on your show tonight. And Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
On that note, get lost.
Get lost, everybody.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.